This is the audio that accompanies U.S. Bank versus Ibanez. So we already saw in Clem this example of, okay, things are going bad because of 08, and we're having all these foreclosures. And so we saw the alleged efficiencies of having these robo-signers on the downside, right? So these kind of post-notarizations, no discretion, so we can get these foreclosures done really quickly. What we're going to see in U.S. Bank versus Ibanez is all of the sloppiness on the front end to originate all these things and particularly create these mortgage pools so we can issue mortgage-backed securities really roll the market when it's going on the upside, right? And all of these sloppiness gets exposed when we're coming on the downside and we have all these foreclosures. So what's the suit? How does it arise? Here, actually, it's U.S. Bank and not just U.S. Bank, right, but Bank of America trying to foreclose on some mortgages. And it turns out when they start to prompt the foreclosure, Ibanez, service person, kind of in the military, and then the other example that they want to use is the mortgage to Luray, so although there are many others of these that they find out about. Defend against the foreclosure by saying, hey, guess what? You're not actually the person who owns the mortgage note. And you have to actually own the mortgage note to foreclose on the mortgage, right? You have to be the actual mortgagee. I know this sounds shocking, that wouldn't be just a basic requirement. But it turns out that's what their defense is. And as we dig into the chain of titling in these two exemplars, Ibanez and Larrace, although it turns out there are others as well, these guys were being really sloppy. The first example is what happens to Ibanez's mortgage. She takes out $103,000 with Rose Mortgage, right? So Rose Mortgage is the originator. This is like in McGlawn, the originator. The originator then immediately assigns the mortgage to a bank, and here we actually have these mortgage corporations because things are really rolling in 06. This is right before everything's about to crash. Things are getting really big. We're having a lot of mortgages being issued all the time, either original ones or refinances, because everybody wants to get in on the action. And Rose assigns the mortgage to option one. And one of the things, if you take a look at the facts pretty closely, you start to see that they're so quick to want to do all this stuff that they're creating these assignment sheets where they actually – the assignee's name, who it's being assigned to, is blank, and we're stamping in those spaces who it's being assigned to. So Rose has got this blank assignment that eventually at some point option one's name gets stamped into it. And then there's allegedly an assignment from option one to a series of Lehman holding companies to eventually a mortgage-backed security and finally to U.S. Bank. And this all happens in 06. One of the real big problems is as we get from option one to all of these intermediaries so we can create these mortgage-backed securities, lose some of your integrity of signatures of saying what will be assigned and what's actually assigned, right? So we get this document that says, well, we plan on assigning all these things, although there's no document saying that it actually is assigned. And so then if you go to number two, slide two, this is reproduced from the case. Basically, the break in the chain happens between option one and Lehman Brothers. We don't have a clear record of transfer of the mortgage on the mortgagee side between those two. And then eventually the thought is that it finally holds in the hands of U.S. Bank National Association, which is who's actually trying to foreclose an Ibanez. So if you go to slide three, this is in July of 07. So one thing is see how quickly we're going from issuance of the mortgage to foreclosure. So we probably are dealing with a subprime mortgage, a mortgage that was really on the edge for Ibanez. And then also, if you think about what's going on militarily at the time, this is why, if you read the case closely, Ibanez gets some protection under this Service Member Protection Act against foreclosure, right? Because those, particularly those who are deployed overseas, might have the inability in a variety of ways to make payments on properties that they've purchased, particularly ones they're not even living in. And so U.S. Bank attempts to foreclose on Ibanez, And as the foreclosure process is going on, I think they start to figure out, oh, wait a minute, we don't really have the mortgage. And so in 08, during the foreclosure process, a successor to Option 1 decides to assign the mortgage to U.S. Bank. So we get this kind of post-dated transfer that takes place there. If you go to slide 4, you get the same, not same, a little bit of a different factual scenario from Larrace. A similar mortgage between the two of them. Both of these are kind of similar amounts. Option 1 is the broker for both of them. Option 1 continues to have this blank assignment, although here there's a problem straight from Option 1 to Bank of America, who's eventually going to try to pull these into a mortgage-backed security. And it turns out that the transfers from Bank of America to Asset-Backed Funding Corporation, ABFC, there's no documentation to reflect the assignment. APFC allegedly thinks it's pulled the mortgages and then transferred that to Wells Fargo. Those aren't signed. They reference a schedule, basically another document that's going to list all the mortgages that are in the mortgage-backed security. There's no reference attached. We get all these unsigned documents between the two of them, etc. And so with this, Wells Fargo then moves to actually foreclose on Larrace. And so now I'm on slide 6 in 07, finds out during the foreclosure process, we don't really have clear documentation. And so Option 1 tries to solve things after the fact by giving the mortgage to Wells Fargo via assignment. And so the argument by Avanez and Larrace is, hey, listen, if you don't own the mortgage, you can't foreclose on us, right? And post-sale assignments don't cure this issue here, right? And so you're going to have to start things over. And so going to slide 7, in some ways the holdings of this case, it's more the underlying facts that are shocking, right, that everyone's being so sloppy and trying to do so much without actually kind of crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But the actual holdings aren't that surprising, right? The mortgagee is the one who has the power to actually start the foreclosure process and prompt the foreclosure sale. And the mortgagor actually needs notice from the mortgagee that this is going to happen. The better way to think about this on the flip side is, let's assume Ibanez actually tried to work out a deal with U.S. Bank. It turns out if U.S. Bank was not the mortgagee at the time, then Ibanez wouldn't be working out a deal with the person that they should be working out a deal with, right? And whatever deal they cut would not be a proper deal. And so just as this could have come back to bite Ibanez, that's where the court's like, well, then you know what? It's just fine for this to come back and bite U.S. Bank. And so the court says, look, you guys aren't the mortgagee at the time of foreclosure, so you don't have the statutory power of sale, and you can't give your notice isn't proper notice to the mortgagor because you weren't the mortgagee. And I think what's kind of interesting, particularly here, is that we're in a title theory state where these assignments become even more important. And the fact that U.S. Bank was only listed as a will be assigned to, and Wells Fargo has a reference schedule that doesn't even list the Larrace mortgage. So just me having the note in hand, so we think about this with the delivery of the deed, with land transactions, not enough, right? We actually need a chain that shows that this has been assigned to me. And these post-sale assignees don't cure it, right? But it begs a little bit of the question of whether this is form over substance, because what's going to happen next? They have cured it now. And so Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank are going to start over again, right, and start the process against Ibanez and Larrace. And it's unlikely that now Larrace and Ibanez have money that they didn't have to begin with when the first foreclosure process started. And, quote, all that's occurred is that we've delayed the foreclosures on these properties, which means we've delayed these properties getting back into the bank of properties out there to be sold, put in the market, and allow the prices to get reset. And so it does beg a little bit of the question of whether this ruling is good for the real estate market. Maybe it's not good for the short term because it just creates a lot of cost and delay, cost that might be pushed down to us as the consumer, having to restart all these mortgages, and also costs because these properties are going to be delayed in getting back on the market. Now, maybe in the long run, it is good for the real estate market in a sense that it will slow down these banks in the future because they'll make sure that they have to go through this process correctly and everything's dotted and crossed and everything's done correctly. And maybe speed was our problem that created a lot of this to begin with. I don't know if it was speed by itself. It was also these other elements for these non-traditional mortgages. But it's a good question to kind of reflect on whether we really think that these kind of form over substance scenarios are important, because what's on these documents is important. We talked about with land transactions, but the implications for reset of the market and foreclosure to take place so that we can kind of get these properties back out there, get the individuals that were originally under these notes not under the notes anymore so they can reset as well. Maybe these delays aren't necessarily a good thing. Final slide, slide 8, this is reproduced from the book. I think this is always funny. Not always, but it's kind of funny. This is from the Nassau County Clerk of Circuit Property Records, and here's an assignment of a mortgage from American Home Mortgage Company to Bogus Assessments. All right, you should at least try, maybe, to come up with a better name than Bogus Assessments. If you click on I think it'll click. Will it? Yeah. If you click on the picture there of that, it comes to a fairly funny but true John Stewart segment on foreclosure, and particularly foreclosure against those where the documents are not really lined up at all. So if you want to take a chance, I would watch it. I find it kind of humorous but also sad, and also reflective of the same thing that's going on in this case is going on in a lot of places. And so this segment has a lot of kind of late night comedic segments. There's some interesting truth there, but delivered in kind of a lighthearted, funny way. Thank you.